Welcome to Money Sense, where we go beyond the numbers to help Canadians design a wealthier life. With host Brent Laux and trusted experts Kevin Hagedis and Andrew Roddick, partners at PWM Private Wealth Council and portfolio managers with Q Wealth. Whether you're preparing for retirement, designing tax-efficient income, or planning for future generations, financial decisions can be overwhelming. With a spotlight on pension-style investing strategies that prioritize long-term stability, Kevin, Andrew, and the PWM team will share their insights and perspectives to help you protect what you've worked a lifetime to build. Because effective financial planning should feel like laying a strong foundation. This is Money Sense.
This week's Money Sense program, we take another look at thematic ETFs. The show begins after this break. Welcome to our Money Sense program. I'm Brent Laux, joined today by Andrew Roddick. And Andrew, you've heard on the program numerous times, and he comes with some pretty serious credentials. Andrew is a registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners. He's a partner of PWM Private Wealth Council. Andrew is a chartered investment manager. He holds a master's degree in public policy, and he brings with him a wealth of experience in his work with clients on their financial journeys. It's always a pleasure. Andrew, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Brent. Happy to be back on.
And I'm interested in the show. A little bit different program today. We're going to be answering listeners and follow-up questions about thematic investing and ETFs. We've had a lot of interest since your last episode on investing in ideas, which was guest hosted by my colleague Craig Silliphant, and people want to dig deeper into that topic. So let's jump right into it, Andrew, to provide a recap. Last time, we talked about investing in ideas through thematic ETFs. To start today's program, could you remind us what exactly thematic investing is and how these thematic ETFs work in general?
Absolutely, Brent. Well, and thanks for having me back on the show and for the listeners that that kind of chimed in about this previous show that we had. Thematic investing is all about identifying and investing in the long term. So we're thinking, you know, forward-looking trends that are shaping the economy and really the world. So things like artificial intelligence, aging demographics, maybe renewable energy, even digital entertainment and esports and these sorts of different themes. Instead of focusing solely on traditional sectors like technology or finance, thematic investing can examine multiple sectors to identify companies that are really well positioned to benefit from broader trends, grouping companies across sectors into these so-called themes. Mm-hmm. And you know, thematic ETFs or exchange traded funds, we're going to use that acronym of ETF quite a bit, but exchange traded funds, you know, they're one of the most accessible ways for investors to tap into these ideas. So these ETFs are bundling together a group of companies and they're all connected to these specific themes. I'll just give a quick example just to kind of refresh things for listeners. There's ETFs focused on AI. AI focused ETFs could include things like chip manufacturers, software developers, and even cloud infrastructure providers. And so you invest in that single ETF and you're getting a diversified exposure to the trend across all those different sectors or parts of that industry. It's really a way to align your portfolio to some degree with the future of where the economy or a certain theme could be going while trying to manage risk through diversification within that theme.
Excellent. Thanks for that great recap, Andrew. And I think that's helpful foundation setting. So in the last episode, we discussed risks, and I'm sure we'll dive into that a little more in our program again. But many listeners wanted to understand the pros and cons of thematic ETFs in more detail. So what are some of those pros and cons that folks need to be considering with thematic ETFs?
Well, Brent, when we think about thematic ETFs, you know, they're designed to give investors exposure to specific trends. Going back to my earlier example, if you think about artificial intelligence or AI, or even renewable energy, aging demographics, esports, as I was saying, you know, to use your terms, on the pro side of things, you're going to get targeted exposure to those themes, and you're going to get that without needing to be too concentrated or too broad, which, you know, you could go too broad if you were looking at a sector ETF. So you can invest in a theme you believe in without having to really select individual stocks or take that kind of concentration gamble. Now, when you think about, you know, let's talk about AI for a second here. So NVIDIA is a great example of a leading position in many AI thematic ETFs, but it's not the only position. So that's the diversification in that theme. And then there's some other pros, you know, accessibility. ETFs trade like stocks, so it makes them very easy to buy and sell. But going to the cons part, you know, the potential drawbacks. Well, one of the concerns that's been raised about thematics is the narrow focus versus, let's say, an index tracking ETF. So while you might not have single company concentration, these thematic ETFs can be concentrated in a few sectors or companies, and that can increase volatility. Mm-hmm. And then there's also performance risk if the theme doesn't unfold as expected. So returns could lag behind broader markets, broader index ETFs. And we're going to maybe talk about this later on, Brent, but you know, when we think about investment products, any ETF for that matter, you got to examine the costs, and thematics tend to have higher expense ratios than some of those traditional index ETFs. So they may be less expensive than, you know, what many Canadians are used to seeing from a Series A mutual fund. But these ETFs typically are going to have a higher expense ratio still than an ETF that tracks, let's say, the TSX, for example.
Okay, based on these pros and cons, then, is there debate within the investment industry on the use of these thematic ETFs and their value? I'd imagine there isn't a general consensus. So what do you see industry proponents and opponents saying about thematic ETFs, Andrew?
It's a pretty healthy debate, which I think may... you know, and maybe many would classify this as being the early stages or the early innings as thematics continue to expand in the industry. But when you look at proponents, you know, they're really arguing that thematic ETFs are enabling investors to benefit from long-term trend and disruptive innovation and that kind of following of trend. And some stats show that they're particularly popular among younger investors who maybe want to align their portfolio with personal values or interests such as sustainability or certain technologies, and they can trade them easily. As I was mentioning earlier, you can trade them quite easily on a self-directed trading platform, for example. But then you have the opponents, and this is where the healthy debate comes in. You have the opponents warning that there's many of these thematic ETFs and they're being launched to some degree being launched during what we call a hype cycle. And so, you know, you're seeing the headline news, you're seeing a trend getting a lot of radio play and airplay, that sort of thing. And so, you know, then you might get poor timing because you're buying into a thematic ETFs during a, maybe the incorrect timing in a cycle or in the innovation or change in the economy. So, and then you got themes that are, you know, arguably too niche. So you might have challenges with liquidity or the volume and trading, even the diversification of the underlying ETF. So you got ETFs launching and shutting down maybe with a greater frequency than you would have in a sector or index ETF. So, you know, lots of these different variables, and even speculation is another part of thematic ETF investing where there's debate in the industry.
We're talking thematic ETFs with Andrew Rodick here, and I can imagine a lot of the listeners who had questions from your previous program with us, Andrew, they were more on the side of the proponents, thinking thematic ETFs might be a good fit for them for a piece of their investable dollars. So what should investors then be looking for when they start choosing a thematic ETF?
On that last show, Brent, I discussed some of the screening methodology we use at QWealth, including elements such as the number of holdings, total assets under management, turnover ratios, whether it's an index or what we call an active methodology in the theme, and things of that nature. And I think for listeners, if they are considering a thematic ETF, beyond the traditional consideration of their risk profile and time horizon, screening type factors that could apply, you know, first and maybe foremost is theme validity, or what the individual investor thinks is the validity of the theme. So is this a trend for the long term? Do you think it's maybe a change in a part of the economy or a part of, you know, an industrial sector or businesses versus maybe a short term hype or a very short term trend? Also similar to our QWealth view, you know, assessing the number of holdings, how diversified is that thematic ETF you're looking? So looking at, does it have, broad diversification across sectors or geographies and so on? And then, what index is the ETF traded on? What's its trading volume? Is it consideration? Is it a US or a Canadian listed ETF? And then other factors, I was mentioning this earlier, expense ratio. And really more simply said, that, the cost of the ETF, as costs are a drag on your performance. So, looking at that and looking at the returns over multiple years, if possible, and not just recent price movement, these would all be factors to consider.
We're talking thematic ETFs, exchange traded funds on this week's Money Sense. We're back with more after this break. On Money Sense, Andrew Rodick is here taking a look at thematic ETFs. And Andrew, in the last program, you talked about some specific ETFs in different themes, including AI. What do you see as some emerging themes here in 2025 that investors are gravitating towards, say, beyond AI?
Well, Brent, first, thematics continue to expand in both the range of themes and the overall scope of application. About 20 thematic ETFs have been launched so far this year, from what I could pull for research so far from our industry sources. And many of these major themes are related to the disruptive technology sector. However, there's also a wide variety of themes that include things like crypto equity ETFs, AI infrastructure, electrification ETFs, especially electrification around, providing the backing and the infrastructure for AI server farms. There's been defense industry ETFs. Several of these themes appear to be gaining momentum this year, as reflected by the volume of inflows into these thematic ETFs focused on some of those topics. And then, beyond AI chip manufacturers, which I mentioned last time on the last show, ETFs like CHIPS or CHPS is the ticker from Global X. These are ETFs in the AI kind of adjacent space. So we're seeing, companies are developing what we call the foundation of AI systems. So we've seen some of these ETFs launch on energy resources and server farm construction, other kind of essential building and support components. And then maybe just lastly, too, when we talk about security and defense, cybersecurity is another key area as digital threats become more frequent. So we've seen some thematic ETFs in the cybersecurity space. And then, also just standard defense related ETFs have just experienced a large number of inflows following some of the announcements from the United States government as well as NATO.
So, Andrew, I'm guessing some listeners thinking about their investment holdings and diversification are wondering how much of an allocation then someone should make to these thematic ETFs in their investment portfolio.
Brent, the same caveats apply as always. Each client is unique. It's important that they consult with their professionals about their risk profile, their time horizon, and their specific investing needs and goals. Generally speaking, though, thematic ETFs are best used as what we would call a satellite holding. So that means they're not a core position, not necessarily a large allocation in a portfolio, but rather they're functioning as a complement to more broad-based diversified strategies. And with that said, if you're thinking about satellite type components and you're thinking about, allocation, a basic guideline would be, maybe a conservative investor allocating really no more than kind of 5 to 10% of their portfolio in thematics. A moderate investor might be in that 10 to 15. Aggressive investors might be up to 20%, especially in things like their growth-focused accounts, maybe their TFSAs, where they're really looking for higher growth potential. These thematic ETFs can enhance that potential. And so, you need to be thinking about that relative to where is your balance points, where are you getting your broader market exposure, and how are you using that to help manage risk?
I like how you touched on TFSAs. Are these thematic ETFs suitable for retirement accounts like RRSPs, suitable for accounts where investors are thinking more long term, which arguably could be longer than the theme's runway potentially?
Yeah, that's an interesting point you raised there, Brent, about the runway potential of the theme. And you know, not knowing an individual's unique circumstances, their risk profile, or their financial plan, you know, I can't make a specific recommendation to account usage, but maybe, again, generally, what I would say is a thematic ETF, it can be utilized in a registered investment account. Most ETFs are registered account eligible for RRSPs and TFSAs. I would caveat that when you're using a thematic ETF in a registered account, or even if you're using it in a non-registered, just, you know, cash margin type account, it should always be part of that broader strategy, specifically around asset allocation. So, you know, regarding your specific question here, Brent, in a TFSA, you know, thematic ETFs, they could be ideal for growth focused investors, especially since TFSAs, your gains are tax free. In an RSP, they can also work, but you really want to ensure the theme aligns with your long term time horizon and your risk profile, even maybe more carefully than when you're thinking about your TFSA, because those assets eventually, you know, those are targeted for your retirement income needs. So questions like, you know, when do you plan to retire, and similar factors can matter there. You know, for example, I'll give a very simple illustration here, Brent. You know, if you're a younger investor, you might hold an AI or clean energy ETF or something along the lines in your TFSA, while someone nearing retirement, they might prefer much broader based, you know, dividend type strategies in their RSPs as they start to think about reducing the risk profile. And it's important to monitor thematic ETFs in your portfolio. I can't stress that enough. If one is falling out of favor, or the theme isn't materializing as expected, and you can imagine if it's in an RRSP with an individual nearing retirement, you know, that could be a significant performance risk if the allocation hasn't been properly managed.
So, Andrew, can you remind our listeners then how you approach the use of these thematic ETFs and how you look at allocation percentages for your clients?
Yes, in my portfolio management work, I often incorporate thematic ETFs into the client portfolios. You know, while they're not used universally, of course, everything depends on a client's unique situation. These ETFs, they really can provide a great way to engage with specific trends and sectors that match our clients' investment goals. And they help us tailor that approach to better serve our clients' needs where appropriate.
It's interesting to hear that following your last program on this topic, we had a lot of our listeners and your clients come forward with questions, and hopefully we've given them some of the answers here today. Thanks for all the great information, Andrew, on our program on thematic investing and thematic ETFs. Where can people find out more, discuss their investment portfolios, financial plans, or address any other financial questions they might have?
We'd be happy to connect. You can visit pwmprivatewealth.com, or you can reach out by calling or texting us at 306-975-9500. That's our main local line. And yes, it's also our text line if that's easier for you. And if you've been enjoying the show live, we also want to remind listeners you have the opportunity to listen to recordings of it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps others find the show. And it lets them know that it's resonating if you could leave a review or rate us on either of those services. And if there's a topic that you'd like us to consider on future episodes, they can feel free to reach out to us, call, text, or email us anytime.
Great show, Andrew. Andrew Rodick, thanks so much for your time this weekend.
Thank you, Brent, as always.
This is Money Sense. Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. You've been listening to Money Sense.